Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Saints Hour, the Bullseye. Saints Hour, Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints. Mike Haas, along with Mickey Loomis, Executive Vice President and General Manager. And we talked at the start of the season and now seven games in. And let's get the obvious out of the way. Of course, 1-6 is not what you wanted. It's not acceptable. It is a given as we move forward past that. No, it's not where you wanted to be, given that. Because we haven't had a chance to talk to you much, what is kind of your assessment of what you've seen out there?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's hard to get by the record, right? Particularly if you're a fan of the team and you have a lot of passion about your club, then being 1-6 isn't very much fun. It's not very much fun for us either. And I would say we didn't expect to be 1-6. But we also recognize that in a lot of ways this was going to be a development year, playing a lot of young players. We got a new coaching staff, trying to identify and develop a quarterback. And so there's been a lot of good things, but it's hard to look past the results, like I said, especially if you're a fan of the New Orleans Saints.
And I guess that's kind of what I hear, is that what fans want to hear is that you feel right players in the building, right coach in the building, and things are going in the right direction, irrespective of the record.
Yeah, I definitely think the right coach is in the building. Absolutely. I love the staff. I love the things that they do behind the scenes. I love the deep thinking, the intelligence of the group. I love the way that they're approaching each week. Look, we're trying to get better incrementally and not take steps back. I like the development of a lot of young players. And sometimes, just because someone's been here for a couple of years doesn't mean they're not a young player. They're still developing. Guys like Chris Olave, who is coming into year four, Rashid Shaheed, those guys are still improving every year and both those guys were hurt and missed a large portion of last year, so they were a little bit behind in that regard. But the young players, the draft picks, I think they are what we expected and even more in a lot of ways. And so I think there are a lot of positive things.
It just feels like it was destined that you were not going to get to see a lot of your starting offensive line from what you had in training camp. I mean, you had the one game in Buffalo for a half before Caesar got hurt, and man, so tough for Eric McCoy. And I don't think people, they understand, but you can hear it in Kellen, you can hear it just from offensive guys, the importance of the communication that the center has of the offense.
Yeah, you're right. Over the years, typically you can count on your offensive line remaining pretty intact throughout a season. They become the basis for your entire offense, and in a lot of ways. And I don't know that I've experienced this many injuries in the offensive line as we have the last 2 years. Don't know that there's a particular reason for it, but it's happened. And for Eric, I feel really, really bad for him. He's one of the top two or three centers in our league. He does everything the right way, and so for him to get hurt, that's difficult. Obviously, difficult on him, difficult on our team. But I know this: he'll bounce back from it. You know, he'll get that repaired, and he'll be as good a player as ever afterwards.
Similar situation with Kendre Miller, who was not an injury situational problem in college at TCU. And I did have the knee where he missed the national championship game. But other than that, it was a game here, two games there. I mean, he was not an injury situation. He just can't catch a break.
Yeah. Look, Kendre was doing a fantastic job. Came into training camp with a little bit different purpose and maturity. I thought he was doing fantastic for us, and we saw on the field a lot of things that we expected when we drafted him, and so it's difficult to see him have a setback like this and an injury, but again, you know, he'll bounce back from it and be stronger than ever when he comes back.
For Spencer Rattler, it's tough to, now that we're, you know, where it is, seven games in, it's almost on a week-to-week basis. You have seen kind of progress. This game was probably, the Chicago game was, from a turnover standpoint, he'd been so efficient with the football. How do you, when you're looking or grading or Spencer, you have to take it all into account, but how do you look at him?
Yeah, I think particularly with quarterbacks, just every experience is a learning experience, and I think they just have to go through it. And there's growing pains, and you're hoping that you can be good enough in the run game. You can be good enough defensively and in the special teams to win a lot of games, to win games while you're developing the quarterback and you're waiting on his development. And so that hasn't really happened. That's, you know, the reason for the record. I think Spencer's made a lot of progress. He's done a lot of really good things. And the hardest thing to do in sports is be patient, you know, while your guys are developing. But that's what we have to do. We don't have a choice. I think what you just said is exactly right. He's done a lot of really good things. This last week was probably a step backwards, but I'm anxious to see how he bounces back from that and how we bounce back from it as a team and rally around him.
There's not really a question here. It's just an observation for me because I think it's kind of unusual. Spencer, assuming things stay the same, will play his 15th game on Sunday. It'll be the third game against Tampa Bay. So basically one every five games he plays Tampa. He's not played Atlanta at all. He's not played Carolina at all. You are the last team to play a division game. You were the last team to play a division game through week six. It's kind of, you know, it's a little strange. I mean, again, there's not really a question other than that it's just a little kind of weird.
Yeah, that's a little bit unusual. Look, I think at this point it doesn't really matter who our opponent is. You know, we're trying to develop ourselves and we're trying to get better each week regardless of who the opponent is. And so, you know, we've got another opportunity this weekend against Tampa, against a good team. Who's been on a roll the last few years. And you know, it's interesting to see, you know, Baker Mayfield's development. And he's an MVP candidate right now. But he went through his struggles the first few years. You know, I think we've got a lot of examples in our league right now between Baker Mayfield, Daniel Jones, Mac Jones, Sam Darnold, guys that, you know, were high draft picks that struggled at times early on with their original team and, you know, have turned around and overcome all that and found success as they've developed. And, you know, it's a good lesson for all of us in our league that most of the time it takes patience and development for these quarterbacks, and they're not instantly successful like Pat Mahomes was and like Jaden Daniels was a year ago. And Yeah, it's part of the deal in the NFL.
Need to take a quick break. This is the Bullseye Saints Hour. Mike Haas along with Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Bullseye Saints Hour. Mike Haas along with Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. And talked to Michael Parenton and Kai and Jeff Ireland. I wanted to get your thoughts. Kellen Moore, was he basically like he is now when you interviewed him? I don't know that I've seen a rookie coach come in and be so even keeled, no highs, no lows, work harder, get better, work harder, get better. Was he kind of like that through the interview process?
Yeah, I think he was. I don't think he was. I know he was. He was very reflective, very thoughtful in the interview process. I felt like he had pretty good control of his emotions. You get in those interview situations and look, you want the job, you're nervous. And yet I didn't see any of that. It was very much the demeanor that he displays now. And even, look, he gets the job, and, a month later, the whole injury and the retirement of Derek Carr happens, and that's a big curveball for a new head coach. Was really calm demeanor during that period of time. There was no panic about it. Just, okay, let's develop our next plan. What do we have in the building? What can we go get? We talked through a lot of scenarios and I like that about him. He's a problem solver.
And he's a quarterback, right? And so, he he's got a lot of people on this staff, but I think the team will feed off of the no panic, right? I mean, they sense that.
Yeah. Absolutely, they do. And, I think this is where, the veteran leadership of our team, the guys that have been here and been big contributors over the years and helped us win a lot of games, their demeanor, their attitude, their leadership has been really important. When Alvin comes out and the guys on our team come out and say, look, they understand the struggles we're going through and that we're trying to win games and we're developing, and yet this is where they want to be. I think that's a good message.
I think this show is probably a testament to my next question, in that we spend a lot of time talking about the offense, and yet it's really defensively with Brandon Staley, who is really kind of changing schematics and moving, different things around, different pieces around into a scheme and the people that he wants for his defense. But, and so, you know, it's a growing process there. But we spend a lot, always a lot more time talking about the offense than the defense. But there's a lot of growing challenges there as well.
Yeah, there is. And you know, when you change schemes and you change the way you're doing things defensively, you know, every position doesn't have a perfect fit in terms of players. You know, we've got to develop that. We've got to understand that as a personnel department, what our coaches are looking for, and then go and get that for them. And that's not something that happens in 1 year's time. That's going to take a little bit of time. But that being said, I think there's some really exciting things on defense that are happening. The young players that are developing and making plays, the guys up front in the middle of our defense that are adapting and doing some really good things. So I'm pretty optimistic that you know, the defense is going to be a strength of our team in the future.
The youth is there, but Sanker, you know, gets kind of shoved in there. Probably, I think he had one defensive snap in week one, and then he's been pretty much a starter since week two. You must be, and then the pick in week four, fumble recovery week five.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that Julian was hurt in that first game, because I thought he was doing some really good things and providing some really good veteran leadership for us, and some really top flight play. But Jonas has stepped in. He's made some big plays. He's made some young player mistakes at times, but he makes up for it with his athletic ability, his enthusiasm. And I think it's been a big help to have Justin Reed back there next to him, someone that's you know, really smart player, has seen everything that this league has to offer and can help his development. You know, our coaches, Terry Joseph and Grady Brown and Peter Genta in the back end there, you know, they've got a really young group that they've got to, you know, really coach up to the best of their ability. And they've done a great job with those young guys. And that's not an easy task.
Galanti and Kool-Aid become the elder statesmen in the cornerback room pretty quickly. Quincy Riley, same thing. I mean, you're going to take your lumps, right? That's kind of, unfortunately, how you learn in this league, and it's how you respond.
Yeah, that's exactly right, because, you know, every corner in our league, every safety in our league is going to get beat, and they have to pick themselves up and go on to the next play and get over the last one. And, you know, that sometimes takes a little bit of time. You know, again, I think our guys back there are doing a really excellent job.
Yeah, and this is kind of, it used to be, whoever that number one pick, if it wasn't an offensive lineman, it would be a daily focus. I mean, we hardly talk about Kelvin Banks and Fuaga, right? I mean, they've just kind of moved in like they have been there for 10 years. I mean, which is a testament to, man, great, great picks. You must be just thrilled with how those two guys are evolving.
Well, yeah, we're definitely excited about the players. You know, part of that is just, you know, the O-line play didn't have a lot of stats that are, you know, evident each week. But look, we've watched them develop. We've watched Tally go from left tackle to right tackle over the course. You know, he went from a college right tackle to an NFL left tackle, back to right tackle, and you know, didn't really miss a beat. Excited about him. We were excited about him last year, just as excited about him this year. And Kelvin's come in and done a great job. You know, part of our evaluation was that he was an absolute great teammate at Texas, and he's been every bit of that here as well. And so we feel really good about, you know, about those two guys, as well as the rest of our offensive line. As long as we can, you know, keep them on the field and keep them healthy, it'll be a strength of our team.
Take our last break, and we'll come back and speak with more with Mickey Loomis. This is the Bullseye Saints Hour, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints, here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Bullseye Saints Hour, the official tailgate of the Saints. Mike Haas, along with the Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis, and we've talked about development and evaluation and Tyler Shuck. So you just assume to see Spencer keep winning, and he keeps the job. But eventually, it's a tough situation where you want to see what you got, but you don't want to see what you got. You want to keep things the way they are. That because if Spencer's playing, usually means you're winning at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, look, the things that the fans can't see is the daily practices, the things that have that happen, each week during practice and obviously during training camp as well. There's a lot of things about Tyler that we really love. I think we've got two great prospects in our building, and we'll see eventually how that shakes out. But it's just about development right now, and I think that's going well.
Trade deadline on November 4th. Michael Parenton's birthday, by the way, is November 2nd. We've had this interview a few times. It's without getting into the nitty gritty. You have five picks, if I'm correct, right now as it stands for 26. And if this is a building, I don't like the word rebuilding or whatever. It's a building time for this team. Is it possible to say if you're going to be a big player, little player, don't play? I mean, how do you look at the trade deadline?
Yeah, I don't know that we go in with any particular philosophy about the trade deadline. Here's what happens is that, the teams that aren't doing well, everybody presumes they're sellers. And the teams that are doing well, everyone presumes that they're buyers. And we've been the subject of a lot of rumors, and I'm assuming, and we have gotten a few calls about different guys. And look, we'll look at each, we'll look at each thing individually. We'll discuss it, but I'm not in the. I don't think we're in the business of trading away good players unless the deals are just too good to refuse. Yeah, I think I'll just leave it at that.
Would you like more than five picks?
Well, everyone would like more than five picks, absolutely.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they don't give them away. You have to give something away to get them, right?
Yeah, we're a long ways away from the draft and where we pick and how many we have is yet to be determined.
Give me a sense of what your time is like, because you've got, Jeff working the colleges, man, we're getting close to November. That's really kind of heating up. You're with Michael Parenton and Kai looking at the pro personnel and what trade deadline or just, getting better. And then with Kellen and what's going on with this team right now, how is your time divided?
Yeah, well, there's not enough of it. That's for sure. It's all of those things and another 100 things too. So everything, every day something comes up that we have to address, that has to do with, the current roster or, things that may happen in the future, contracts that we're contemplating, free agency that's going to come up this thing. There's just a lot of things that we're dealing with on a daily basis, and look, we're trying to support our coaching staff and give them every bit of support that we can give them in terms of advanced reports, daily information. There's injury issues that we have to deal with, so there's just a lot of things, Mike. It's too hard to just describe a single day because every day is different.
Football's a crazy game. It's a matter of inches. Your thoughts? Have you seen the highlights? How did you watch Denver the Giants? How did you digest that?
It was an unbelievable ending. That fourth quarter. I didn't see all of it. I saw a good portion of it. I'm not surprised that Denver, in the span of 38 seconds, I think when they received the kickoff. I wasn't shocked that they were able to maneuver themselves into field goal range because we've seen that with Sean and Drew a couple of times. I think they did it in like 21 seconds or something like that one time. So it's just it's just evidence that any bit of time left on the clock, something can happen that can change the course of a game, and that was wild.
Yeah, it was stunning, but it just shows you that it's the NFL. And finally, just your final takeaways from when you watched Tampa and Detroit, since you're playing the Buccaneers next.
Yeah, look, Tampa's been playing so well, and
Baker's
been playing so well, and they've They've overcome a lot of injuries. I know they had a few more in the game last night. But that's a big challenge, and they're the top dog in our division. They have been for 3 or 4 years now, and it'll be a good challenge for us and a good opportunity to measure ourselves. So I'm looking forward to it.
Good luck to you, as always. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Mike.
Let's pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We will switch gears a little bit here, as it is a busy time of the year, as the New Orleans Pelicans will get their season started tomorrow night. Lots of changes to talk about with this Pelican team, from Team Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations, Joe Dumars, to a new look, Zion Williamson. We'll talk about what lies ahead for this Pelicans team with the longtime TV voice of the Pels, Joel Myers, and get his thoughts as the Pelicans want to put that injury-riddled season of last year behind them for good. That is next here on the Bullseye Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Bullseye Saints Hour, but a special treat because we're talking about the Pelicans as they get started with their season. Joel Myers, the television voice of the New Orleans Pelicans, along with Antonio Daniels. And you're a veteran, you're experienced, but there's always got to be a certain amount of just pure athletic excitement at the start of a new season.
It absolutely, especially after you're trying to wash away 21 and 61. And it is a fresh start for all of us, and it's going to be healthy. I like what Joe has brought in, the mentality Joe Dumars has brought in. No nonsense, no BS. Like, you want to be here? Great. We want you here. If you're not, let me know, and I'll find you a new home. So I'm really happy with Joe coming here, wanting to come back to his home state. It's kind of an exciting time for all of us.
For those of people in my ilk who remember Joe Dumars well, played with Detroit, and there was only one style of ball in Detroit, and this is the guy who was first or second team All-NBA defense 5 consecutive years. So there might be some players. This team is so young. You know, you have to go back and either tell them or show them, but those teams had one style of play. Can that translate some?
Well, if you don't play hard, you're not going to be on the floor. That's what it boils down to. And as we saw, they let him play in the finals last year between Indiana and Oklahoma City. So the game has become more physical. It's always been fairly physical. They got away from it because now it's pace and space. But as we saw, they let him play. We don't want free throw shooting contests. We don't want to see 30 or 40 free throw attempts a game. So I do like what they did in the offseason, though, bringing in a couple of guys like Sadiq Bey. Jordan Poole's a scorer. That's a big addition for this team. Sadiq Bey is a physical player who can space the floor as well. But Joe's translation of his style should come across, regardless of you ever. And parents, the parents saw him play. So these youngsters that are on the floor now for the Pels and all across the NBA, if they don't know about a basketball Hall of Famer, they'll soon find out, because he was truly a Hall of Famer. And then he put together a team that won a title in 2004. I was there. I did the Lakers at the time and was there in 2004 and calling that game on radio. So I saw that. I was there game five when Chauncey Billups jumped on the table right in front of me. And I was already on the phone trying to get a flight out. But it'll be good for all of us. It's a healthy transition for all of us with the Pelicans.
And so I'm with you. Wash away last year, so we're not going to spend much time on it. I do want one question, because it was such an unusual beginning. 2-0, and the seasons with the NFL overlap so much more now than it feels like they used to. And you start 2-0, and then you start December 4-16. January 1st, you're 5-20. It got away because of the injuries almost instantly, so fast that before you turned your head, it was over. Right? I mean, you were like 5-29.
Yeah, but this is a different team.
No. I'm saying
right. So you do wash it away, and you, as you know, you have to have a short memory, so you move on. And it's like golfers say, you know, you don't linger on the bad shot. You look to the next great shot and try to move on. But this is a deep team now. And this may be the deepest team that I've seen in 14 years here with the Pels. So that's a really good situation. Everybody is understanding now in the NBA, because of the pace, that you need guys 10, 11 deep. And we saw that in the finals. They went and played 10 guys, which is unheard of, because in the old days, you always shorten your rotation going into the playoffs.
Seven
or eight at the most, yeah. Not 10 or 11. But Indiana with Nemhart, and you could go down the list, Mathurin and all those guys, not necessarily starters, but they did a good job. They let everybody know. And Oklahoma City has been that way for a while, but they went all the way to the pits. They had two really awful seasons before they started to ascend. So the Pels have already been there. That was 21, and it was basically 21-61 because Zion wasn't on the floor. Trey and Herb were hurt. This is a different mentality completely. And the guys should be motivated and challenged. Somebody brought up to me, well, there's only two national telecasts out of 82 games. Well, that can all change. You can show them that you deserve. That is kind of a personal affront to me. So nobody expects anything from you. Just show them. You know, challenge yourself, be motivated, and I think they will be.
I was going to say the same thing, in that you're not, it's one thing to be flying below the radar. It's another not to be on the radar. Saints were the same way. No national games. I'm like, that's disrespectful, but right. You got to play your way to these TBA late games. And kind of the fact that they're under the radar now, you use it as a motivational tool, but I think it's a good thing.
Oh, it's healthy. I go back to the word healthy. The key is staying on the floor for the Pels. And we've seen what's happened, because Z has only played, what, about 45% of his career games. But he is a different guy this year. And I think he understands what Joe was saying to him in the offseason, because Joe was blatant about it. Joe said, you don't want to be here, I'll find you a new home. Joe was honest about it. That's what we all like. If you don't want to be in New Orleans, get the you-know-what out, because this is a great place. We all know that. It's the most genuine, unique place in America. So if you don't want to be here, move on. And Joe let everybody know that. Now, Trey Murphy, he's ready for a breakthrough season.
I was thinking, potential that's all-star. On my list, breakthrough season.
A potential all-star. And then I like everybody. The Pels were pincushion over the summer because of going after Derek Queen. Derek Queen's a skilled big guy. He has got a great skill set. Now, he's got to get into game conditioning and shape, because he wasn't over the summer. And even in the couple of games he played in the summer league, you could tell you 3 minutes and he was huffing and puffing. Well, You're 19. You got to be in shape. You've got to be conditioned. And he will. Kevon Looney will keep him in line. That's why the vets, because it's a small locker room as opposed to the NFL, which is a huge locker room. The vets in the NBA police and kind of mentor guys because it's a small group. And Looney comes in. That's good for not only Derek Queen, but Eve Misi. You know, he's got rings. He's got championships. He's played past Memorial Day a number of times already. So you bring in that veteran. Sadiq Bey is a man. He's 26 and he is chiseled. He is very serious. Jordan Poole's 26. Maybe the thing I like the most what Troy and Joe have done with this roster is the timeline. Most of the guys, either early 20s, are about 25, 26. Poole and Bey are only 26. They've been around a while. People forget how young they are. Trey Herb, 25, 26. And you've got a good core on the same timeline. Now they, and Zion as well, 25, 26. Just got to keep him on the floor.
And I think typically we forget about what used to be old style basketball, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But I feel like this team has more definition in those roles. Poole and Trey and Zion. And, you know, Looney, you know, is hurt, I feel like there is more definition. Who's the one, right? Who's bringing it up, right? Is that true?
Jordan Poole, who can also, he's deep threat. He can really shoot, which is required. Need the spacing. So if you have Jordan Poole, who they have to cover, and you have Trey on the wing, well, that's, hey, Zion's, they can't drop a double in his lap. He's going to have some space on the block if Trey's on that side or Jordan Poole's on that side because they have to stay with him, keep him honest. So there is a number of – now, the thing that worries me the most going in, defense. The top 10 teams defensively in the NBA, usually – it's a rarity when it doesn't work this way – are the most successful. And if you look at the teams that go deep in the playoffs, they're – always in the top 10 in defensive efficiency. I have no concern with the Pels being able to score. That should happen. Can they get stops? That's going to be critical.
Need to take a quick break. Be right back. This is the Bullseye Saints Hour with a special treat, Joel Myers, as we're talking Pelicans as they get started with their season at Memphis on the road. But then really we'll talk about their schedule, which is not easy at the start. And we'll talk about the new Zion Williamson when we come back. This is the Bullseye Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back. The Bullseye Saints Hour. Mike Haas, along with the voice of the New Orleans Pelicans television. That's Joel Myers, your 14th year, I believe.
Yes.
With the Pels. Congrats.
Fortunately.
The greatest broadcasting pipes you can just imagine.
I love the game.
Great pipes. We went to break talking about the new Zion. We've had new Zions before in the offseason, but this feels different, right?
Well, it feels different.
It looks like a different person.
Right.
And can he maintain it? Can he stay kind of in this new physical regime? And there's one thing about losing weight and being in shape. They're usually go hand in hand.
Yeah, but he's toned now.
Right.
It's not just weight loss. He's really toned. So Bo, head of strength and conditioning for the Pels, Tom Maystadt, the head trainer for the Pels, they've been busy all summer, and Bove in particular. They've done a number of things with Z. And he has even said that he feels quicker. He feels better than he ever has. Well, he's 6 years into the league, so now it's up to him to maintain where he's at. Be a pro. You got to be a professional. And I think he gets it. I think he understands now. His reads, believe it or not, a lot of people forget because all they look at is offense. His reads are really sharp at the defensive end of the floor. When he sees somebody who's oblivious, he'll circle and trap blitz. And his timing is outstanding. So he's got to get more rebounds. The Pels are right now a little small. A Queen could help that because he is a legit 6'10 and a skilled 6'10. But when I say a little small, that means Eve, Queen, it's got to be gang rebounding, it's got to be team rebounding, and Z to get 5 or 6 boards a game. And you want him to rebound because he can rebound and run and make his teammates. And he sees the floor really well. Remember, Zion's last 2 weeks on the floor before he fell on his tailbone and then it didn't help to win. It unfortunately helped to lose down the stretch for lottery purposes. But his last 2 weeks on the floor, he had two triple-doubles. His first two career triple-doubles. So his basketball IQ is great. He reads really well at both ends of the floor. Now he's just got to stay on the floor.
So let me preface this question. I think Zion is one of the few players in basketball that can, if he has the ball and says, I'm going to the bucket and I'm going to score, that you can't stop him. Not many players can say that. I do agree. I think he's even quicker with the ball than he was last year. It also brings in getting slammed and to the floor because he gets pounded. And, you know, sometimes they call it, sometimes they don't call it.
They didn't during the preseason.
Right. They don't call it. And his free throw shooting, I mean, I say this a lot with great respect. Does he need the next phase of a game, a baby jumper?
He displayed it.
Yeah.
We saw it. He's got a nice little pull up in the mid-range now. 10, 12 footer in the middle of the paint because they're collapsing the defense on him. And we've seen it before, but he still beat it. But the point is now he's evolving and adding to his game. So he's there and he understands I've got to take what they give me as opposed to trying to be the bull in the china shop. And he's done a really good job adjusting. And it looks good because he's got a great finish. He's got soft hands. It's amazing the touch he has around the rim. Well, that's going to carry over to the 10 and 12 footer. And he's been making it during the preseason. But I only bring up it because Trey played 25 minutes and Z played 25 minutes in the last preseason game. They were both out there for 50 minutes. Neither one took a free throw. And in that last preseason game was like 37 to 17 in free throw attempts. So you have to impose and read the game and read the referees because they're different every night, but you have to impose your will on the opposition so you do get that whistle and that respect and that call.
Start the season. Three of your first seven on the road. You're going to learn a lot about this team early, even though it's 82 games. Let's not, you know. But in your first six, you play Memphis in the playoffs, Boston, who won it in 24, Denver lost to OKC in the playoffs, the Clippers playoffs, and then OKC. So that's in your first six games.
Right.
You're going to learn a lot about kind of who this team is early on.
Well, and also you've got a ton of home games in November. It's a busy November, 16, 17 games in that month, and a lot of them at home. You have to capitalize at home. Now, Memphis is going to have Ja Morant on the floor and Jaren Jackson Jr., but they're missing a couple of other key components. Well, when the Pels were hurt, nobody threw a pity party for them. You've got to capitalize when they don't have their full complement of players. Desmond Bane's no longer in Memphis, and he was always tough on the Pels. Scottie Pippen Jr. is out of the lineup for opening night. So, and then with teams, you look at the Clippers. Run whenever you can. They're the oldest team in the NBA. Every night in the NFL and the NBA, it's matchups. And what can you exploit? What do you do better and you think you can exploit against them? In the NFL, it's two generals on each sideline and they're trying to make them miss. It's like, I love the NFL for that reason. But in the NBA, there's five on the floor. Who can you exploit? Who's out there? The ball always finds the guy that is defensively deficient. So they know going into the game. And they'll try to do that. We've had great games. The Pels have played really well. The last 10 games in Denver have gone down to the wire. And I mean, Pels probably split about 5-5 out of those 10 games. So it's take it one night at a time. The back-to-backs are brutal. Three games in four nights are tough, but you don't have that as prevalent early in the season. So we'll see. But I do like the fact that they're finally going into a season with a full complement of players. Everybody is healthy.
A couple more questions here with Joel Myers. And if you, I don't care how old you are, if you want to feel old, look at some of the people on this roster, right? I mean, Jeremiah Fears just had a birthday. Right?
Yep.
Turn 19.
I know.
Right?
I love
Derek Queen is 20. He didn't turn 20. He can't go get a drink till December. Eve just turned 21.
Right.
We sometimes forget that these are not just young players, 24, 25. These are young. These kids would be in college.
It's the NBA.
Right.
Yeah.
But you forget.
It's the pace of the race and the speed now in the NBA, as you saw with Indiana. Indiana. It was almost like the old Don Nelson theory. And Rick Carlisle took that from, I want to get 100 shots up. I'm going to find a way to get 100 shots up a game. So Don Nelson was ahead of the time. And we're going back about 30 years in his heyday. But he was right. And if you hit for a high percentage, you're going to beat your opponent most of the time if you get that many opportunities. So the pace will be there if the Pels need it. But it's all about who you're facing that night. And that's why I bring up the Clippers. I've watched a couple of their preseason games. They are slow. They're not looking to push it with James Harden. Now, they'll throw it ahead, but they're not going to be an open court style franchise, at least this year. But the Pels have the opportunity to do it. And they've got enough young guys, as you mentioned, to get up and down the floor.
And finally, Joe Dumars, because of his background, he's one of those guys, when he talks, you listen. Part of his role, I would imagine, is culture. Culture in, you know, with an organization that has struggled mostly because of injuries, flipping the culture here. Correct?
Well, without a doubt, flipping, that means that it wasn't bad.
And I don't mean it that way.
No, Mrs. Beeb has been incredible and done everything and anything to make it all work across the parking lot for the Pels. I mean, the facility is one of the best in the NBA. But I like what Joe did immediately when he talked to every player individually when he got here. And he said, let me know if you do not want to be here. Because if you're not all in, then get the hell out. And I really believe that in a lot of things, not just basketball. So, as I said, I like what Joe is doing. I like his mentality. I like the guys know up front what's the expectation. And it could be a really good season because nobody expecting a thing. Pels were a pincushion all summer long after the Derek Queen move. So it's now a challenge and it should be motivation.
Well, it's a long one, my friend. At Memphis to begin on the 22nd, then home for two of the 24th and the 27th. Look forward to the Smoothie King Center and getting that blender rolling.
Yeah.
Have a great season.
Thank you. I love the game. And I can't wait because it's been a long time. I think it was April 14th or 15th when we ended the season last year. Can't wait for the start
too
of this
early,
one.
Too early, right?
Way
to April's
soon.
Too early.
You got it.
All right. Thank you, Joel.
Thanks.
And that is our show for tonight. Thanks for listening. The Pelicans open the season tomorrow night on the road, then home for two games, Friday the 24th against the San Antonio Spurs, and then Monday night the 27th, hosting the 2023-24 champion Boston Celtics. Again, though, tough start to the season with 7 of their first 10 games on the road. But it does come back in November and December, especially December, as the Pelicans play 9 of their 12 games inside the Blender and the Smoothie King Center. The Saints have their first NFC South game Sunday against Tampa, and this one will be a 3:05 kickoff, so a late kickoff for Tampa Bay, before the Saints return to the road to play the Rams in the NFC West back at SoFi, and then Carolina in Charlotte, before finally their Week 11 bye week. And then the Atlanta Falcons come to Caesars Superdome for Week 12. That will be on November 23rd. My thanks to Saints Executive Vice President Mickey Loomis and the TV voice of the Pelicans, Joel Myers, for joining the show tonight. And as always, my thanks to Charlie Long in the booth for his help. And we will look for you next week following what we hope is a much-needed win over Tampa Bay here on the Bullseye Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Good night, and thanks for listening.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Plays a Raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARC machines roam unchecked and the motives of other Raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.